Hey everybody, welcome back to the Mini PC Show. This is episode number 28. We got the full house again. We've got Brian and Dor and me, Eric. How's it going, Brian? How you doing?
Hey, what's cooking, Eric? Things are going pretty good. A little bit of a stressful day today, so I'm kind of coming down from a stress migraine.
Well, we'll get you back to your center here. We will. Yes. This is therapeutic, man.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I realized today that looking in the mirror, my body type is I like pasta. Dor, how you doing?
What you mean?
Normal craziness, I'll say. Trying to stay sane. Kids in school, doing better in school. But that's kind of stupid. I know they can do better, so it's about trying to help them, help themselves, help me and my wife stay sane.
Yeah, and school's stressful, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna be. I want to say the word is jovenuvial. Jovenuvial. Let me see. It's juvenile. No, juvenia. It was a term coined about 5 years ago. Basically, how juveniles today have it so much worse than we had it as kids.
Constant war, that kind of thing.
No. You heard the people that said, "Oh, kids today just they don't go outside as much. They just sit there and stare at their phone. They don't communicate as well. There's so much political correct stuff. Oh man, kids have it so bad today." It's basically like a mental, I don't want to say disease, condition that people have, and I've been trying to keep that in mind when I talk to my kids about when I was a child versus today when they're a kid, and some of the things they have to go through.
So you don't want to keep instilling in them that, hey, it's worse today than it was when I was a kid? You guys
I'm a rose-colored glasses kind of guy. I keep trying to tell them how they have it so damn good today, because basically the entire history of the world, of the documented history of the world, is at their fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
Any question you ever wanted to have answered, you can find a credible source for it online, and not just some stupid British kid doing video games about Roblox, spewing out nonsensical lies as facts.
Yeah, I remember, I don't know if you guys had this, but we didn't have an encyclopedia set at home to begin with, but every week or every 2 weeks, you would go to the store, and if you bought like $30 worth of groceries, for another $5, you would get the next encyclopedia letter. And then after a full year or whatever, you would have the entire set of the Funk and Wagnalls encyclopedia in your home. And that's how we got our encyclopedias, which were cool. I mean, you'd look through them real quick and then put them on there.
Well, was me. I would once in a while just look through it. But my sister, before going into kindergarten, read the entire set of encyclopedias and the entire Old and New Testament.
Wow.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, that's really good.
But then, unfortunately, for the rest of her life, she now believes she knows everything.
Well, she's probably right.
Well, I will say this. If you listen to this show, you should know my last name, McLaughlin. My sister was on Jeopardy this past year. She's no Ken Jennings, I'll just say that. But who is?
Right.
Well, do you know who your sister has in common with?
Psychopathic killer?
No, not psychopathic killers. She has a characteristic trait that's in common with Elon Musk. Now, if you remember from his book, Elon Musk, in the beginning of the book, he talks about the stage in his life where he was just consuming information. And he would just read and read, and not so much just read the information, but he was able to recall the information as well, too, at a moment's notice. So he was just full of facts about pretty much anything you could think of, consuming encyclopedias and just all kinds of books. So she very well might be intelligent.
Well, the main reason I believe that about Elon Musk was that his latest conference he spoke at, he was interviewed by Hippie and Dippy, two people that really didn't know what they were talking about. And he said that him and his brother banned talking about reality and universe subjects while they're in the hot tub, because they would spend too many hours in the hot tub just sitting there talking about, is the universe real? How can you test reality, kind of thing?
Yeah, are we part of a simulation?
Is right.
Well, and his logic is, it doesn't matter, because we probably are, and that's okay.
I think, therefore I am.
Yeah, to me, it's just one of those quandaries. I don't know how you could ever test it and have proof outside of killing yourself. I don't know.
I think we need to go to the hot tub with this one and discuss it more there. We'll save that for then.
To the hot tub time machine, everyone.
Yeah. And I will say, I do think that this is now a little bit, at least, of a lull in some single board computing news. Oh, the one follow up I have, two people told me, I went and looked in the hard kernel forums, the original manufacturers of the Odroid C1 and C2, and amongst other mini computers. People in the forums believe that we talked about last week about how it does not go higher than 1.5 gigahertz on the processors, even though they advertise them as 2, which now, if you go look, I believe everywhere they're advertised is 1.5. People in the forums believe this can be so catastrophic, it can make class action lawsuits happen that will basically drive hard kernel out of business forever.
Wow.
Come on.
That's not good.
Not good at all. I will personally say yes. When I went to go buy the board, I was looking at specs, and that did influence my decision. I can tell you experience of those OSs I've ran on the Odroid C1 and C2.
Yeah.
I don't care. Now, in hindsight, after they already sold me on everything, and I've seen it, and I've witnessed it, and I've ran it, I don't care if it only runs at 1.5. I still think it's, in some ways, a superior board. But that's, you know, I just hope they don't go out of business. I hope they keep innovating and do things right, I'll say, for now on.
Yeah, we'll give them a pass on this one. How much are their boards?
$41, I believe, still at a Meradroid, which I will have links in the show. $41 for the Odroid C2, which is quad-core 1.5 gigahertz processor, 2 gigs of RAM, true giganit, true gigabit port. It's $41.95.
Yeah, they don't have a whole lot of flex room for spending on lawyers there, I don't think.
Well, it's I believe actually a South Korean company. And here's the real main difference between this board and Raspberry Pi, because that's what it always gets compared to. Raspberry Pi is using a Broadcom chip that has, at least, I'm 99% sure, closed source binary blobs running the processor and or the GPU. So it's not a fully open stack. A lot of it is open, but it's not. Odroid is using a all-winner processor, which basically is the processor that a huge majority of these boards use. So for certain things like Android, it just runs easier and better. And for things like Armbian, I think it's a little bit easier for them to create OSs for it, because it's a known chipset that's already in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, All-Winner is very, very popular processor, and like I said, there are in a lot of devices. So it's not good if they're having some issues.
Yeah, and All-Winner was the one. If you guys remember, like 6 months ago, there was code left in the Android stack for the All-Winner chipset, I believe it was, where if you ran a certain command on the back end, you would automatically be granted root without any ifs, ands, or buts. So a lot of people were saying, you know, this is whoever's master plan to sneak into computers, blah, 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 blah. I take of it as a honest development mistake. I've been at places where they accidentally publish development test code into production and don't know it for sometimes weeks. So it can happen.
Have you had any experience with the Odroid, the other Odroid, the XU4 or 3?
No. That one to me isn't a great bang versus buck ratio, if you will. I believe it's like $70. Yeah, $76 for the Odroid XU4. I don't think
Samsung it's like chip.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's good. I'm sure it's powerful at what it does, but I don't think it's worth $76. I think that Samsung's licensing tax they have to pay is making it more expensive than I think it should be. $50, I would probably have already gotten one, but I'm not paying $70 for it. Yeah, I mean, the only real difference between this and the Odroid, it seems like, is the processor, where it has a octa-core processor in it, but it's actually two quad-core processors. One quad-core for low power task, and one quad-core for high power task, and only one is ever running at a time.
We call that in the industry big little or little big.
Yeah,
does have a looks like a dedicated power line in, rather than using a micro SD card or a micro USB port.
Yeah, and that's the same thing with the Odroid C1. You have to have a dedicated AC-DC jack. I also honestly don't love the idea that it has a fan on top of it. One of my things about these mini computers is when I can get them completely quiet, it adds to the appeal to the device in my book.
Right. Yeah, no, I fully agree. That's the whole idea of getting a fanless PC.
As quiet, no fan.
There's a Google Plus community that's very similar to ours, the mini PCs, and the gentleman that runs that also supports and runs the CNXsoftware.com website by the name of Jean-Luc. He actually originally posted the discussion regarding the 2 gigahertz CPU dilemma. And he put it in terms of this. He says, the CPU frequencies are adjusted within a closed source binary blob. So if the kernel sends frequency requests, i.e. 4 gigahertz, to this binary blob, it answers back, okay, then the kernel will believe it and then will report 4 gigahertz. So it sounds as if it's not really the kernel that might need to get adjusting, that it's so much this binary blob from the manufacturer of the chip itself.
I believe it, and I honestly would love it if that is all that has to happen, because I don't like the idea of false advertising in any shape, way, and form.
Right. No, I fully agree with you. I fully agree. So I was thinking to you guys, I was thinking about chopping up some of our bits into segments so we can segue into some of these things. I don't feel it really comfortable. How am I going to ease into some of these products that we have? So I don't know what you guys think. What do you guys think about that?
That sounds like a lot of work, so let me just go, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Brian?
What segment would you like to go into now?
I would like to go into set-top boxes. I've been on a set-top box kick for a long time. I don't know. I just, ever since I got this, it's probably been a couple of weeks, and I'm calling it a long time, because ever since I got my video network streaming card, I'm like, you know, I need to put a set-top box in this TV, or I need to, which one should I get? You know, which one's the best processor? Is 1 gig of RAM enough, or is this processor better than that processor? And I think it was Joe Heck who had, no, it wasn't Joe Heck. He was on the thread on the on the community site. He had someone had made mention, hey, how come some of these set-top boxes don't have tuners in them? And some of them actually do. Just one of the ones that I was posting didn't have a tuner. But I did add one device to our show notes, and that's on line 232. And actually, nope, that's not the line. It's 230. My apologies. That's on line 230. And this is the WeTek 2. Now, the WeTek 2 isn't all that glamorous and fabulous, but I found the UI to be a little sleek, a little snappy. I went to YouTube and actually caught some screenshots and how to set it up. And the actual box itself doesn't look too bad. You know, it's got a black matte finish with some blue LED lights on the left-hand corner of the box. And I know a box isn't really all about specs, but I'm going to run down the specs real quick and see what you guys think. So it comes with a quad-core AM Logic C905H processor. The GPU is a Mali MP450, which what we're all familiar with. It's housed with 2 gigs of RAM, DDR3. That's pretty cool. It's got 8 gigs of eMMC flash memory. And why I actually put it in the show notes is that it has a built-in tuner, for satellite and cable TV and over-the-air cable. Now, the built-in tuner works out pretty good. So if your cable company isn't encrypting all of the services that you subscribe to, then, you know, you can easily plug this in and get the majority of your channels without having a set-top box. But if they do encrypt a lot of those channels, then this probably isn't the best solution for you.
Does Comcast encrypt their channels?
Comcast does encrypt quite a few channels, but not the basic channels, like over-the-air channel 5, channel 4, 7, and so on. USA Network, things of that nature, like the basic and the expanded basic tier services. They don't encrypt some of those, but they do encrypt some of the pay channels, HBO, Showtime, and so forth. So,
well, I used to plug my cable straight into my TV and use the tuner in there. Mm. Would this be different than that tuner, do you think?
No,
I can't do that anymore at all. It won't let me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then I would suggest that probably this box would not be a good box.
Okay.
But if you had unencrypted, uncompressed over-the-air HD, which is way better than satellite or cable could provide if you have a really good signal, then that would be a good option too as well. So this is also, it doesn't have wireless AC, but it does have wireless N. Not really a big fan when it comes to video streaming and wireless. The two just don't go well hand in hand. If you have AC, I've still seen some problems with video quality. It comes with a gig Ethernet port, Bluetooth 4.0, one HDMI port, micro USB, and two USB ports. No USB 3.0, only 2.0. And it plays your latest and greatest HD formats, including 4K as well, too. Yeah, that Mali 450 does do 60 frames per second 4K, which I thought is pretty stunning.
Yeah, they have two of these now, to be sure. There's the Wii Tech Play, and then there's the Wii Tech Play 2. This right. is the two we're talking about. I'll say the specs are fair. There's nothing about them that are mind-boggling, but they are solid. I have to say that. They are solid specs. The one thing I will say is the processor is not clear. It's either a 1.75 or a 2 gigahertz quad-core processor. Shamil Shamazel, what's the difference? They're just so close to being the same. I wish they had, right here on the page, here's a video, watch it in action, because they don't have that. I see 3 or 4 static screenshots, and the reason I want to see the video on the website is customized, optimized Android runs so much better than standard vanilla Android.
Period. Oh, yes. Period. That's true.
And this looks like they actually put some tender loving care, and because they have a version 1 of this box, I'm sure they were able to take that OS and just enhance it. So I like the sound. I like the look of it. I like the look of the configuration a lot. I like the main interface, too, that looks very family-friendly. And built-in Kodi right off that main menu. To me, that's a big plus. RAM is good. Remote looks really nice. I'm fine with the wireless speeds. I literally tell the family and everything, don't stream in a high quality. You have a choice to make when you hit that thing to stream. The highest the quality possible, that means you want it to look as good as it can possibly look, not play as good as it can possibly play. So I say go for a lower resolution. Go for 720 if you want a better experience watching it with less buffering. And they're starting to do that a little bit more from time to time. But here's the real wild card question, Eric. Brian. How much is this? Because I have a number in mind that I think is fair, and then I have a number I think that's too much.
Well, what's your number?
Well, I would say the fair number would be 60 to 70. Too much would be over 85.
That's too much.
That is too much.
How much?
We're looking at a price tag of $119.
Well, I say that because I don't see myself using the tuner. The tuner I can see having a 20 or maybe a little bit more value to it. My question is if you get the tuner, can you do any kind of standalone DVR functionality on this thing?
That's what I was wondering too. It does say that you can rewind, but I don't know how long, you know, it's only got 8 gigs of memory.
Right.
And it does have a USB 2. I don't know if you could DVR to, external hard drive or something like that, but it doesn't say DVR anywhere on the website, but it does say you can rewind and go back. So I don't know if it constantly, if you're on a tuner.
Yeah. Has a buffer going at all times, which I will say the ability to rewind is nice. I don't believe I've seen that on any Android based box, period.
This is play, pause, rewind. Miss something? WeTex Play 2 lets you go back in time to recover moments you might have missed or want to watch again. Replay that amazing goal you saw earlier and relive the experience. Take control of time.
Okay, I'm not going to say it's too expensive. I will say it's too expensive for me. I'm cheap. But this is a very good find. And I do like the name WeTex because it, I don't know, it like brings out the Scottish in me or something. I don't know.
Oh, WeTex classy.
I will spare you my Scottish accent.
Oh, no, Scottish.
Oh, God.
Well, they've got a British flag at the top of the website, so I wonder if they're British.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about the company.
Oh, no, that's English. That just changes the...
Oh, it changes the format.
Yeah.
This is a very good find, I will say that.
They are looking for distributors, because they're going worldwide. So maybe you can get a little cheaper door if you're becoming a distributor first.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, work on that.
Yeah, if it doesn't, I can't imagine how much content you can actually be able to rewind and pause, or how long it would pause if you actually hit the pause button for.
Right. But especially if you have apps installed.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I know there are some third-party apps that will allow you to DVR record functionality. I'm trying to recall one of them.
Do you guys ever heard of Google Widevine?
No.
It's in the specs on this thing. It's got a...
Google what?
Google Widevine. I can look it up, but I've never heard of that before.
That.
Widevine Video Optimizer for Chrome. Google Widevine DRM. So it's a DRM standard.
Okay.
So what it does is it helps ensure the cable companies that we're going to just display this content. We're going to do everything in our power to stop people from recording it.
Oh, wonderful.
Wonderful.
That's exactly what we want. Thank you.
Yeah, see, this is when I don't like Google.
Well, I mean, in the specs, it says Widevine, and then right after that is Microsoft Play Ready. You know, I guess they're just, getting it to the market. They probably have to do these things to make it work, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Do I remember we were having a conversation last week about whether 1 gig of RAM would be enough with some of these set-top boxes? And that actually came up again this week when I was chatting with someone regarding set-top boxes and how much RAM would be enough. And this is the gentleman that tests frequently devices like these on a regular basis. And he had said to me, well, it all depends on what kind of content you actually put on the gear itself. So, you know, if you're loading it up over time, then you know, all the apps that you're running on a consistent basis are going to run in the background. It's going to bog down the system. But, you know, if you're using 1, 2, maybe 3 apps, it should be fine for just watching video alone.
Well, yes and no. I'll say Android is Java. Java is a virtual machine, which means everything basically is running in a virtualized container or RAM. Android has what's called garbage collection going on at all times.
Right.
If you've ever hit the menu button, the recent app button, and you try to go back too far and you click an app, you'll see sometimes it will take 5 to 10 seconds for that app to load. That's because it was taken out of RAM. So it has to put it back into RAM before it can be loaded again. So the amount of RAM directly affects garbage collection and how soon stuff drops off the tail end of that. But if you optimize the OS right, I do believe you can start off the installation with having a lot less things auto-start. I don't want a calendar and corporate-type email stuff loading the first time I start the box up. That's why I believe some of those generic $40 boxes, the experience is so bad. It isn't because the box is underpowered. It's because the OS is so under-optimized for a good experience.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so more RAM don't hurt nobody. I'll say that. And after Jelly Bean, Google has tried to not keep needing more RAM. With Lollipop and Marshmallow, it definitely performs better with less RAMs. And I've seen, there's a guy at work with a phone with a gig of RAM in it. And I was pleasantly shocked. I want to say it was a Moto G. It was a cheaper phone. And I was genuinely shocked at how well it worked when running one app, just starting one app and just staying in that app. It was actually pretty good. And then, to be honest, when you're doing a HTPC type experience, you really do come home, load up one app, and then leave it on that app for sometimes an hour or two. So I do believe 1 gig can be usable, but I also know, you know, if you can get one with two, it should be better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's certainly some Android OSs that won't allow you to install with 1 gig of RAM. So, at the Android website, looking at the Nexus Player. And when you go to click on Learn More,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't take you anywhere. it redirects you back to the Nexus phone platform.
What does that tell you?
Exactly. That tells me that this little box is going bye-bye or getting replaced.
Well, it is with that Show Me Me Xbox that we brought last week. And I was wrong. I said 2 weeks last week. It's actually first week in October when they're going to do the announcements of the new Pixel phones. That's where everyone believes they're going to launch the new set-top box running that new customized TV OS.
I thought they were just following the trend of redirects for clicking links. It's pretty popular right now.
That's it, Eric. And they also took the headphone jack out, I heard.
Of the player? Of the set-top box?
Yeah, sure.
I'm just gloating because I just got an email from Richard Quirin, one of our listeners, who just sent me this beautiful logo, which I'm showing in our screen right now. And it says... Well,
that nobody can see.
Well, they can't see it, no.
But oh, I can see it.
Advertise Dini Media, the best redirect on the internet.
Yeah. I was wondering why that came
That's
up.
That's because it is the best redirect on the internet.
It is. Many years going. It's held that title.
Very cool. A quick story before we go back to links. Richard Hughes, you said Richard made me think. Richard Hughes just bought a brand new Intel NUC. Intel NUC, I believe, was we talked about way back in the early days of this show.
Oh, yes.
Intel NUC, think of it as like half the size of a set-top box. It's like about half that size, I'll say. He got I believe it was an i7 NUC, the Ooh. Bigger version of the NUC. He then got 32 gigs of RAM in it, and he got, I believe it was a 500 gig SSD, and it's his portable data center, basically, development data center, where he can boot it up when he's away from home, and he can launch multiple VMs on this box and do all of his development work from his laptop while using the performance of the Intel NUC. And he was, like, blown away. The first thing that blew him away was I booted up running Ubuntu, and it literally goes from cold to fully done booting, he said, in like 3 seconds. And he said, I never thought that was even a thing. I didn't think it was possible. I heard people say it before, but I didn't think they were actually getting it.
That's amazing.
Okay, he got the, it's the NUC615SYH. Horrible name. It's the i5. i5 is the best that they go, so it's not an i7.
No, they do have an i7. It's the
that's the gamer one, right?
It doesn't have LEDs on it or nothing, but it's the NU5
oh.
one,
you're right,
a 5i7 RYH.
Well, what I'll do is before I publish the show, I'll talk to him and I'll get which one it is and put that one in the notes. But he literally said now because of the price, he's tempted to basically get rid of every computer in his house and everywhere at and just replace it with a NUC.
this it may be a different model too, because this one only goes up to 16 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he said for 32 gig of RAM, which for VMs, you know, you kind of have to have more RAM.
Yeah, the more the better.
Right, but I did actually have to explain to a admin at my work, putting 256 gig of RAM in a Windows VM machine, it's going to suck. And I tried to explain to him the amount of processing power needed to keep track of all that RAM is going to slow everything else down. Let's just cut it down to like 32 gigs. Let's make it something digestible. And he ran a couple of things with 256 gig, and he said, I don't understand why it's running like crap. I don't know. But let's turn the RAM down and see what happens. After like 3 days, he finally did. He's like, I don't know how, but this thing's working really good now.
Yeah, I think the NUC is a great form factor, easy to just tape to the back of a monitor, and you've got all the performance you really need, unless for some reason right. You need a physical disk drive, like a CD spinning ROM or DVD ROM or something. I think right. You know, I've got a room full of full-size ATX motherboard-type computers in here, and as they fall apart and rust away, they will I'll never be replacing them with anything like this. I don't game, so I don't have any reason to have crossfire, two video cards sticking out the backside of it, 18 fans on it or nothing like that. There's right. people who do that, and that would I think that's probably your only use case for full-size ATX motherboards and cases and heavy PCs, unless you really have something else going on that you need a big power supply like that.
Well, if you want to customize it yourself or have a crazy NAS with like 10 terabytes of space in it or whatever, I don't know. I will say the beautiful thing about the NUC and the Zotac Z-Box, which I'll have a link for that in the notes now too, both of them come with VESA bracket mounts, which you can easily mount it to the back of any monitor. And I'll say the best thing about that is if you have a 19-inch monitor or better, it can be running, it can have its fan kick on, you will not hear it because the monitor is literally blocking all the noise. That alone to me makes the NUC and the Zotac even more desirable, just because they can be tucked up out of the way, really short cable, twist tie them up, as Cody Cooper will say, and then you have yourself a really good, quiet, clean desktop experience.
Right. Then it's running the x86 platform. It's like a workhorse, the architecture.
And yes, I'm typing in Amazon Zotac Z-Box.
At work, I mean, that's what we're switching to. And anytime we get a new person, we need a new workstation, they're NUCs now. Because all we're doing is, Excel and Word, Outlook and things like that. Nothing real fun there, Get Adobe,
PDF. Yep. I'm going to say this live on the show because I don't care. I think I figured out one thing, guys. You launch anything in any browser on any computer that you're connected to with Jitsi Meet. Mm-hmm. And is it me or does it like hurt the quality?
The video quality?
Well, if you right now launch a link, will you have audio dropout and or video dropout?
Well, I try to stay away from that. Whatever I have the Jitsi running on is left alone. I don't touch it. And all my surfing and happy stuff is in another machine.
Okay. Yeah, that's the way I should be doing it, but I'm not. So I didn't notice it. I mean, maybe you guys are noticing it on me, but I did see that the door got behind a little bit somehow on mine.
Yes, I did notice that. I thought it was my quality.
Time travel, people. Time travel.
Oh, you're from the future.
Right. Your future door.
Sure, yeah. Okay, was there any other thing here in the notes you guys wanted to
about? Are we done with that segment?
I don't know. Are we?
No, we haven't exited that segment yet.
We got to bring in the segment music.
Ba-da-bum-bum-ba-dum-bum.
That's right, folks.
What's your next segment, Brian?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Eric. I'm checking out the firewall. This is a firewall router network server / mini PC. Will cook you bacon, eggs, serve you coffee, all on its Intel Celeron processor. Now, this is in line item 233. And who makes this? This is very neat. This is...
Pondesk?
Pondesk, yes, thank you very much. It's a little, well, I was going to say it's a little pricey, but when you start looking at what you're getting, it's not that pricey. So let me break this down. So it's a just a gray box, really. It's got USB 2.0, two USB 2.0 ports. It's got 4 gig Ethernet ports on the front of it. It's running an Intel Celeron 2.4 gigahertz quad-core processor, which I think is phenomenal when you're running any kind of switching or routing with a processor like that. That's just that's really good. It supports Wi-Fi. It's got 8 gigs of RAM. It supports mSATA SSD, which I think is pretty sweet. And... It's a low power consumption device. It pulls down about 10 watts of power. Now I'm not too sure if that's in peak or at idle performance. But what I thought was really cool is that you can slap on pretty much whatever you want: pfSense, ClearOS, Monwall, Debian, you name it, Linux. If you can install on your PC, you can probably run it on this thing.
What's the COM port for?
COM port, so you can get out of band management. So if you need to configure the box and give it all the IPs that you want to give it, that's the port you would use. I notice on the back of it, it's got 2 big fans on the back, and it doesn't say big. Well, yeah, I wouldn't say big, but it does have 2 fans on the back. I'm not too sure how loud that would be. Though the site doesn't give a reference on how loud the device is.
Well, the only reason I'm not shocked I see fans is the presentation of this device is a very professional-looking, solid-looking gray box, so there's no place for the air to come in or go out. I don't see any vents on the top. There's is little ventils on the side, so the back just probably pulls air in to push it out the sides. I honestly am going to say this isn't crazy expensive. It's a little expensive, but the presentation quality of this device is definitely higher, I think, than most other kinds of devices like this that we've seen. This is definitely business. This ain't entertainment purposes. This is a business device. You put it in your home because you mean business. It's time to manage your network. It's time to manage all the ins and outs. It's time to isolate in VLAN and put up everything off. One thing I really do like about this is it says it can run ClearOS. ClearOS is one of those old, crusty distributions of Linux that people with really long beards will say it's Clark Connect. Now it's called ClearOS, whatever. It is one of those insanely powerful solutions. We all know that pfSense is the raw power of firewall kind of thing. ClearOS is the enabler to do anything. It can help you manage shares, backups, FTP accounts, VLANs. It can have integration with LDAP for security and configuration and IP tables galore kind of thing. I really do like the look of this box. And the specs are very fair. I mean, because really, a quad-core 2.4 gigahertz burst speed processor, you ain't doing nothing on a firewall that's going to max that out. 8 gigs of RAM, you ain't doing nothing that's going to suck down the RAM on that completely. And the 4 genuine gigabit LAN ports, to me, is like a big plus. I like everything about this. To be honest, if the price was less, I would definitely be more inclined to buy it, but the price is not making me say no.
No, I fully agree with you, Dor. And, yeah, you ain't lying when you're talking about business. Straight up business. So maxed out. So I'm gonna, if you look at the site here for a moment, you can actually pick and choose how much RAM you want, how much storage you want, before you go ahead and drop any money and get this shipped to your house. So if you max this out, 8 gigs of RAM, 500 gig SSD drive, it's going to come to about $447.99 US dollars. So roughly around $450. You can get this drop shipped to your house. Which, again, when you're looking at all the features that you're getting with this, if I purchased a Cisco router, I'm going to be spending a lot more than $450.
A hell of a lot more.
You know, with in terms of some of these specs that are being dished out, and I probably won't get 500 gigs of SSD storage or 8 gigs of RAM. So it's not bad. It's not bad at all.
Yeah, I can tell you, if I was doing a Soho, small office, home office kind of thing, or, you know, 8 employees or less, I would definitely be looking at this kind of thing to be its main backbone.
I fully agree with you.
So. And it's free shipping worldwide. I like the fact that they just make that blanket statement.
Yeah. So if you got those out there that want to roll their own, this is how you would roll it.
How did you come across this one, Brian?
So I stumbled across this one while poking around at the... What website was that? Oh, we mentioned it before. CNXsoftware.com.
Okay. Because these guys have some other mini PC offerings they sell. Mm-hmm. And to me, they've got these crazy cases on them that have the heat sinks on the outside of the case. They look like a car amplifier.
Yeah, I've seen some of those. The industrial type fanless Core i7 mini PCs.
Yeah, I'll throw one in the link here in the chat.
Yeah, they look like old school Rockford Fosgate amps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are meant to run in all kinds of crazy condition. So if you want to throw it outside in your shed at 0 degrees, it most likely will probably still be running.
Yeah, right now I've got a Lenovo laptop out there. We'll see how that goes this winter. Are we done with the network administration segment? Mm.
Yes, we are.
And firewalls? Okay, all right. Bum-bum-bum. What's the next segment, Brian?
Well, let's see here. There was
one I like more. I like the segments.
Oh, yeah? You like these?
Congratulations.
I think, yeah. Well, it's better when Dora does the bumper music, but...
Yeah. We've already gotten some emails complaining about it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, this is another mini PC. This is the last one I have here. I'm not too sure how to pronounce this name here. I'm going to say Onda, O-N-D-A, M3, mini PC. This is 235.
And I tell you, I really like the case.
First, yeah, yes, that's the reason what caught my eye, and I wanted to talk about it.
It's like they wanted to put a fan in, but they're like, let's just cut it out like we did and leave it that way.
That's a very, very sleek looking box for those who can't see radio waves. So this has got a, it's kind of a gold matte finish with a diamond cut trim on the outside top of the case. And it shines. I mean, you can tell if you move it from side to side, that diamond cut edge will pick up some light and it'll sparkle. It's got the name branding on the bottom left-hand corner of the box if you're facing it. It's just a regular square-looking box with rounded edges. And on the bottom of it, like Eric described, it's got a cutout where you would put a fan in, but there's no fan there. But it just adds to the appeal of it. It just looks really cool.
Yeah, I would say this is close in form factor to what I think a Mac Mini is.
Yeah. The weird thing is, it doesn't have a fan there, but then it does have a fan that vents out some other vents that they have on there too. It's kind of neat. Dora, I think you're drawn to this because it's the same color as the Lenovo tablet you're going to end up buying.
First off, let's not talk about that. It's wrong show. and let's not, you know, make this any more worse. I'm going to probably buy the damn thing, but let's not go there. I will say I really do like the looks of this. The only thing that makes me, like, sad trombone is when I scroll down and I see it comes with Windows 10 loaded on it. Oh, well, there goes that.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
But two USB 3.0, two USB 2.0. The network interface is not gigabit, I believe. I think. 10100, 1000, sorry, yeah. It is gigabit. The Wi-Fi, it doesn't even tell you in the specs that I saw which Wi-Fi it supports. It just says the M3G81 chipset. I guess that's good. It's not a bad-looking box. I mean, aesthetically-wise, it's definitely higher. It is running a dual-core processor, G1840. I don't know what kind of specs that thing has.
No, that's the other Celeron.
It's a dual-core, but it's 2.8 gigahertz.
Yeah.
That's okay. Intel graphics, which, to be honest, I'm a fan of. 4 gigs of RAM, 120 gigabyte mSATA 3.0. So that's, again, not bad. Pretty fair. I'm afraid just because it has Windows on it, they're going to be charging a little bit more.
Hey, Dor, if you like it,
sorry.
If you like this better, Geek Buying has a couple different versions of this.
Mm-hmm.
They've got another version. It's the Onda M3 combo, and the OS is MS-DOS.
Oh.
That's got to be just a bare bones, though. That one's like $163. And I don't see the fan cut out on the chassis of it either.
I do. $162.99. I see it. Has the hole.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah. So normally this is around $200. I still think that's a fair price. Definitely this is the kind of device where you like showing it off, because to be honest, this looks like it's supposed to be there kind of thing.
It's fairly big. So we're looking at 7 inches by 7 inches. And it's about 1.29 inches thick.
That's okay.
That's fine. I scrolled down on that MS-DOS one. It does show Windows 10, so those are confusing for me too. I always get those two mixed up.
Yeah.
But that is all that I have. I think.
What was that segment? The gold PC segment.
This is called the gold finger segment.
The gold fingers.
My favorite line in that movie. Do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Yeah. I don't remember seeing that actor in anything else, but he definitely left a lasting impression.
Oh, yes.
The only link I felt like I had to bring was the very last one in the list, 237. Even though it's not mini computer, technically, it's related, my logic is. You could have a Raspberry Pi or Banana Pro or something in your backpack running while you use this device. It is an actual virtual identical looking replica of the Star Trek The Next Generation comm badge, and it actually has Bluetooth connectivity to your device.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is like a little bit giddy. And here's the gimmick. It isn't only the Bluetooth. You can program it, basically, and on, like, Bluetooth headphones, if you hit the button, you basically get your Google Now to pop up asking you for input. You hear a little ding. So you can press the button. You can have it initiate that, and it does have a built-in mic on it as well.
Oh, man.
So you can walk around your house, slap the button, ba-doop, and you can say, computer, turn on television. And, you know, you can turn it on or, you know, you can say engage or whatever you wanted to say. The bad thing is it's $80 freaking.
I don't care. Take my money.
Well, I didn't say I wasn't going to buy it. But I will say ThinkGeek. I've ordered at least 5 times in the last 3 years from that website. Every time I order, halfway through shipment, I get a message saying unknown address. And then I have to go pick up the package from FedEx or UPS or wherever because they can't ship it to my house.
Huh.
I order from a lot of sites. No other site I've ever ordered from do I have this problem. Also,
is it spelled out correctly when you go pick it up from someplace?
I use my LastPass to always fill out the address, and then I just scroll through to make sure it's hitting all the right fields in the right way. I never saw an error on it. I also tried to buy their Think Geeks caffeine mints. You know, thinking caffeine good. You know, like Solomon Grundy, only in human form. Three times I ordered the damn things from them. Three times I get an email like 5 days later saying, sorry, we're out of stock. We're going to refund your money. Until I finally realized when I read it and I looked at it, I would have to literally chew those things like candy to get enough caffeine out of them. So I just stopped trying to order them from them. But, you know, this is really nice.
Yeah, I got some floor mats, or welcome mats. They say enter, and they look like a big enter button on your keyboard.
That is nice.
I had it at my shop now they're in front of my house. Go up.
Very cool. Was there anything else you guys wanted to bring up? Oh, there was one more thing I wanted to bring up. I forgot.
Yeah.
And I really don't like complaining. I don't like venting. I don't like vamping. I don't like complaining. I don't like ranting. I don't like doing any of that stuff.
But
I've been a good boy, but back in April, I know I mentioned it on here once, like offhanded comment, my Pi Top laptop stopped holding a charge.
Oh, yeah.
I literally have no idea how it happened, why it happened. I basically took it all apart, put it back together, so it wasn't holding a charge. Back in April, I paid them money to send me a new battery and a new base. It's September. I still don't have it.
Not good.
So, you know, it is what it is. And honestly, I don't like bugging people. I don't like bugging people. I don't like bugging companies. It's not my job to nag. I don't get a discount when I nag. I don't get a performance increase in my pay when I nag. I hate nagging. So I've only pinged them like two or three times asking, where is this? Am I going to get it? Do you need more money? I've literally said to them, do you need more money? I'll send you more money. And I keep getting a no, it should be shipped out any day now.
Huh. Wow. I have to say, I brought it up on the show before, my issues with Gadget Cat, and it was kind of the same thing when I did Indiegogo. And they actually ended up coming through. So, I mean, I had a good experience. Hopefully they'll come through for you. Hey, when you say it is what it is, I watched a Bill Murray movie recently, and he goes off on people saying that in that movie. It was called Saint Vincent is the name of the movie.
Oh yeah, I was gonna watch that. That's on Netflix.
Not a bad movie. Yeah, it's on Netflix now. And he goes, you know, you say it is what it is. What you really mean is you're screwed, and you're gonna continue to be screwed, and there's nothing we're gonna do about it. That's what it is. What it is. Anytime you hear somebody say that, you can substitute that for it, and that it fits perfectly.
Wow.
We're screwed. There's nothing we can do about it. Hey, I just added in the chat session, it's a box that I'm expecting in the mail tomorrow. And I'd like to talk about it on the next show.
Yeah?
Yeah. This is the set-top box. It's the Great Ever, whom I've never, ever heard of.
Greatest name ever.
Yeah. It's the Great Ever H96 Pro TV box. It's got an ARM processor, the AM Logic S912 octa-core running Android Marshmallow 6.0. It is a 2 gigs of RAM, 16 gigabytes of storage. And, so we should be able to stream 4K, Kodi 17.0.
You've had the lesser boxes before, right, Brian? Have you had Android boxes in the past?
Yes, I've had some dual core boxes, and I was not happy with them.
Okay, good. Because I want to hear how this measures up to those.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Eric.
Hey.
On that link he put in there, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Click on the Amazon link. Okay.
Yeah.
Then when you click on the Amazon link, let the page load, and then on the left side there should be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pictures. Click on the 6th picture and tell me what you see in that picture.
3, 4, 5, 6. Kodi Mate. one-click plugin installs Easily Watch Plus. 85%
content. Look at the screenshot they're showing you.
Oh yeah, the TV add-ons. Yeah, that's the
So what this has, Brian, this has basically one-click install to easily install Kodi and the Fusion TV Add-ons.ag plugin, which is the plugin me and Eric have been talking about the last couple weeks on our mini computers. When you load Kodi, you install these plugins, and that's the one that allows you to basically watch anything from cam videos from movies still in the theaters to everything basically.
Live Kittens.
Live Kittens, the 24-hour Seinfeld network, live sports all around the world. So this comes with a one-click install for that, which I can tell you, I implore you that after you play with the device for a little bit, go into that TV add-ons, go into the videos, go into the plugins, and check them out and see what you think. Because that alone, the plugins alone for video, realistically will take you a week alone to really review. There's so many.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the thing I've got running on the Fire Stick right there. Exactly that interface and plugin.
Oh. Yeah, and I'll say, you have a knack, Brian. You, I'll tell you now, I figured it out, at least this. You have a knack for finding very visually appealing pieces of hardware. This is among the better Android set-top boxes I've seen on Amazon.
It's very small. You show it when they show the person holding it with their thumb.
Or that person has gigantic hands.
Looks like the LED around the top changes colors and stuff. It's pretty cool. I can't wait to hear your review on it, man. If this performs better than those other Android boxes, and the price is much less on here than your link.
Yeah, I've noticed the. I bought it on Amazon. I don't know, like really putting my credit card into different websites that I'm not really familiar with, so. If it's on Amazon, I'll pay the different price, whatever they're selling it for. But if it's not, outrageously ridiculous, I won't.
It's $60 less on Amazon than the other one. So
okay,
the Forever. Actually, the other one's coming from the Forever Friends gift shop. So yeah, I'd go to Amazon too.
Yeah, they already have my info. So one click, boom. Yeah, I should be here tomorrow. Can't wait. I cannot wait.
Very nice, man.
Thank you.
Yep.
I appreciate that compliment. Thank you.
Well, I guess the jury's out. You'll let us know if it's very nice. It seems like it from this end, so
far. Right, exactly.
Cool. Well, do you guys have anything else you want to say before we end off the show?
I wanted to ask you guys, have you seen the latest on Wi-Fi spectrum? Like the, I can't remember the acronym. It's not the N spectrum.
Is it the on the Wi-Fi? No, I was thinking 5G.
Yeah, you're supposed to get like up to 7 gigs per second.
I would expect the range wouldn't be great for that, because that's really friggin' fast.
Yeah, I was watching some video documentation about it, and the guy was claiming that you can actually get pretty far, but I don't know. That's the first reaction that I had, Dor, is that there's no way this is going to allow you to go outside to your backyard and still able to get good signal. The only thing I think, if you do like a point-to-point, like a wave beam forming, and you actually physically had an antenna and you did a site-to-site, from the shed to the house kind of thing, or from house to house. But I was just wondering, I had an article and I thought I saved it in the show notes, and I don't see it.
I haven't heard that.
Well, I guess I should bring it up next time.
On at least Enterprise Networking World, it looks like, is the URL, but I can't read too far from my head. This mentions 802.11ac Wi-Fi gets speed boost up to 7 gigabytes per second.
Huh.
So it looks like a compliance thing using, of course, MIMO, multiple in, multiple out technology, and it does do beam forming. Which is the idea of actually having intelligence in the Wi-Fi access point that actually changes electric voltage and frequencies to try to make the perfectly formed waveform to get the most speed possible.
That's 7 gigabits per second?
Yeah.
But it says that's quite crazy.
Well, so municipal broadband, you're a network guy. What do you think about municipal broadband now as far as running fiber to every house? Is that something that would be maybe 4 years ago kind of thing? Or is there still a future in that when you could think of wireless networks going 7 gigabits per second? Is that going to go to the home from a big ISP?
I'm an old school kind of guy, so wireless is great, but if you could tack it down to a wire, definitely do that. Fiber definitely over copper, just because you're just that much more robust and durable as far as transmissions are concerned and how far you can go with the transmission. And you know, with copper, if you need to go faster, you either change to how many twists that are in the pair, which is you got to get new copper, or change the electronics that you buy. But with fiber, if you want to go faster,
crank it up.
You buy new hardware, not necessarily the fiber optic cable itself. So you don't have to run any new fiber. You know, you just change the hardware. So
well, you saw what Google is doing, right? They're basically shutting down Google Fiber Initiative.
Yeah, I heard about that.
That's what I was.
Yeah, and they're changing it all to wireless service. I'm not going to say Wi-Fi, but a wireless service.
Well, they do have the, what is it, the 30-millimeter wireless service that, I can't remember the name of the company, that was selling over the air, not over the air, but they were selling rebroadcasted television signals, claiming that you were just renting an antenna and they're just selling you the service. I can't remember the name of the company, but they recently launched a new platform, which is what similar to Google is looking to do in the Cambridge area. Now, during the beginning of the summer, they actually just launched it, and a lot of the folks that I work with were like, you know, it's not gonna pan out. This is really, you know, just a hoax or a joke. It's not going to last. But I don't know. When you're, I can't remember the speeds that they were actually toting, but it was pretty comparable. You know, more than a gig of speed, it was up there. So, you know, if you could get a gig of speed without having to have wires run across all over the place, why not do it? But
yeah, I mean, it could be a good, maybe combination thing too, where fiber is easily, you know, installed. Do one where the last mile is much more difficult and there's no infrastructure.
Right.
Then, yeah.
Right. But to answer your question, Eric, I definitely don't think that running fiber for the municipality is not out of date at all. I think it's there's a lot of value in that.
Okay. Because Comcast, you know, they haven't really stepped up their game much, so we've got some fiber already laid, so maybe we'll see.
Yeah, that's definitely good stuff.
We're going to bring it before the council next week, so as a preview, if you can't make it to the meeting Monday, that's just a little preview of what they're going to talk about.
Jedi Council?
City Council. Hey, and I'll throw this out there. I don't know, Dor, if you're seeing my screen, if you do a great ever search on AMZ Review Trader, I've got my request in.
Ah, cool. Yeah, people don't know. It's another damn link we got to put in the show. Thanks, Eric.
You can't really make a link from this, though.
No, but we have to link now to Amazon Review Trader and tell people what it is. We can't just leave them in the lurch. We're not like other shows. Okay.
Do you want to give them another link, too? Because there's another one now.
No. Relax. No, because the other one sucks.
Under our hat.
The other one sucks right now still. Amazon Review Trader. When you go check out on Amazon, if you notice, it sometimes says you can put in a coupon code. Amazon Review Trader is a website service. You go in, you say, I would like to review X product. If you get approved, they then send you a coupon code where you can get stuff, all kinds of stuff, from adult products to cell phone cases, everything in between, basically anything on Amazon is possible, with sometimes discounts, 10, 20, 30, 80, even 100% off, as long as when you get the item you do a view. So. Yeah,
you're required to leave a review within 10 days, and it's actually AMZ Review Trader, not Amazon Review Trader.
Right, but if you Google search Amazon Review Trader, it should show up.
I just don't want people having typing the wrong thing in and getting something completely different, even though that may be a fine site.
Fine, don't type it in. Come look at the notes. That's there why I'm go. Doing the notes, people. And yeah, this one has the honeycomb look. This looks like the exact honeycomb one that you brought last week.
Yeah.
$39 on Amazon Review Trader. We would have to pay for shipping, Eric.
Oh, I noticed that.
Oh, I noticed that.
Good call.
I don't like the idea of having to pay for shipping.
How much was that?
I don't know.
Oh.
Okay, it's normally $78.99, only 18 left in stock. The very first link I'm looking in Amazon.
Oh, no, it says fulfilled by Amazon, so it's free shipping.
Oh, it does, you're right. Okay, so $39, almost half off, 39.5% off.
Hmm, that's not bad at all.
Okay, I think we ran the gamut.
We went long in the tooth on the shopping advice. I'm sorry about that door.
Ario. It was called Ario. The makers of Ario.
Yeah. They got they lost a court case, went to the Supreme Court even?
Was that the one with the little white antennas that people would stick out their windows?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They I was lost. Hoping that was gonna come along, man. I was really love that. So Google, oh man. Google's got something going on like that.
Yeah, they launched a new service called Starry. It's a high speed home internet service. It was a beta launch in Boston. I believe it was in Cambridge. $40 a month.
Hmm. Better Crazy. Wi-Fi, easier than ever. Huh.
So yeah, take a look at Starry. Starry High Speed Home Wireless Service. It seems pretty cool. That's like I said, that's the same technology that Google was looking at.
I have to check that out. All right, well, I want to thank everybody for listening to the Mini PC Show again and sticking with us. And give us a couple emails or a voicemail. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know if there's something we're talking too much about or not enough about that you want to hear. And, if we think it has anything to do with what we want to talk about, then we'll give it to you. No, I'm just kidding. We totally we'll listen to your emails and we will change the show in different ways. See, we even had segments this week. You know, that might have been a request from somebody other than Brian. You never know. Doors, is there anything you want to say to the folks listening before we finish up?
Thank you. And if you notice, not a single ridiculous, out-of-timed, abrupt break in content to promote something that we're getting paid to promote. So if we're not getting paid by companies, I would really appreciate if you guys can either go to podnos.com/Amazon, or if you would like to have a Patreon started for this podcast, please let us know. I'd much rather give you guys the opportunity to support us directly versus having marketing agencies stick their talons into us and have any control over this show.
Yeah, because we could probably advertise Intel Nux, you know, or something like that, but then we couldn't talk crap about them if they sucked.
Or when they suck.
Beat the hell out of
everything sucks.
Sorry. I was going to say, we can beat the hell out of DigitalOcean.
Yeah, we could do that too.
No. They already told us that we are not big enough.
Okay. Well, I know other podcasts that aren't as big as us that they support, so the same.
Well, yeah, that's because they lie about their numbers.
Oh, that is not a good thing.
Brian, do you have anything you want to say before we finish up?
I just want to thank everyone for tuning in, taking the time out to listen to our rants and tidbits on these cool little devices. And, send your emails, and I'd like to hear what everyone has to say, what they like, what they don't like, what they want more of, and if they see any mini PCs in the wild, let us know about them. Take a snapshot if you can. I'd like to see them, you know? I always try to.
All right, well, we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
Take care, everybody.